Let us begin the service by singing number 235. Lord, my petition need, now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord, my trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. Number 235. We shall now read to you from God's holy word, the prophet Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Isaiah 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, thou most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the day, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit Spirit within me will I see thee early, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other Lord beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery, is in pain and cries out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight. O Lord, we have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth the wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out death. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy that we are privileged in this evening hour of this Thanksgiving day to come again in the house of worship, to call upon thy holy name, and to acknowledge thee for all the blessings bestowed upon us in the season that lays behind us. Pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication and thanksgiving, and bring us graciously where we never can bring ourselves, that it may please thee to remember us in this evening hour, In thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom thou art well pleased. He is the fountain and source of all blessings, grace, and providence that we receive out of thy fullness, grace for grace. Make room in this evening for thy word and testimony, and that we are privileged with boldness and with freedom in our heart, with love in our soul, to explain thy word and to speak out of our heart to the hearts of the congregation, that it was a word in due season. Thou knowest, Lord, how dark that it is in the world, and how empty that it becomes in thy church. Jacob is small, and we hear so little of it, that there are born in Zion. There shall be in church till the end of the world. But it seems that the end draws nigh, that Christ shall appear on the clouds, and that he shall judge the quick and the dead, that the seriousness of life and the reality of eternity was bound upon our heart and soul, that thy word in this evening may find an entrance into our heart, that it bears fruit, that stay and remain with us forever and forever. Lord, depart not from us, forsake us not, but give also in our midst and in the midst of the congregation, and also in this country, some tokens for good, notwithstanding the mountains and the walls of sins and transgression. O Lord, bring us back to the law and to the testimony, with those that rule over us also in this city and in the state and in the government. We commend them with the president of this country upon the throne of grace. Lord, give them and us together grace to bow under thee and under thy precious word, and that our life, that short life that is given unto us, can well be the last thanksgiving day in our life, that it be in preparation to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. And that the day of death, when it comes, that it shall be better for us than the day that we were born. Remember us and our children and grandchildren, our old generation. Remember the consistory, remember the school board, and the principal and those that teach the children. Supply the manifold needs and wants, also in our families, and grant unto us thy Holy Spirit, and that grace that abides with us forever and forever. Forgive all our sins and all our transgressions. Look down upon all the sick and afflicted, those who are so serious, and others who are a little better again. Also one of our elders, remember them all with that old widow at the end of their life, and strengthen us together, and hear us with the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 221. The only offering is for our school, what we recommend to you again. number 221, Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love. Mit cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. Number 221. Beloved congregation, again we have received in this day the privilege to come together under the Word of God, but with that special reason to acknowledge the Lord for the manifold blessings bestowed upon us. Those blessings are so manifold that we cannot count, but that the Lord may give us an heart to acknowledge Him, because He is the only fountain where all blessings from flow, and all that we receive in our life, it is from our side undeserved. We have no right to any blessing. It is only the goodness of the Lord, and it is also for the country in his long suffering that he is thinking upon us. Now it is at the end of this Thanksgiving Day. Whether that there nog another one shall follow for us, we don't know. But there is hanging above the country, we don't know. But in accordance to the word of God, we know that it goes to the end of the world. The signs that Christ is coming on the cloud, they are visible. And it is clearly revealed in the word of God what is coming in the last days. The seriousness of it must well fill our hearts. But of course, Christ himself, he had said it already, that it shall be as in the days of Noah, eating and drinking and marrying, till the day that Noah entered into the ark and the deluge came and all the people drowned except Noah and his family. And when we are thinking about the future for the country, for the church, for us personally as individuals, and also for our families, there is a reason enough, people, that we unite this evening in that prayer of the two men of Emmaus, what I will consider for a few moments this evening with you, and that you will find in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 29, these words, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent, this far. We have in our text an earnest request. In the dark and troublesome days in which we are living, in the first place, the contents of that request, in the second place, the urgency in that request, and in the third place, a satisfaction which will bring the acceptance of that request. You can well expect this evening that we will not say so much about the men of Emmaus, only few thoughts as so far that it is necessary for the purpose with which I have taken this text for this evening. You all, even our children too, they know the history of the two men of Emmaus. They were no strangers of Christ, but of course Christ died on the cross. He was buried, and they have expect something of him, but all that they have heard about his resurrection, they could not believe. And then finally they make that decision to return to their home. They have to walk almost 2 hours before that they have reached that place. And what they never have expected, what they never have thought about, that was given unto the two men of Emmaus, because Christ came to them, he visited them, he asked them questions, they gave him an answer, and then that man who was for a long time a stranger to them, he started to teach them and to instruct them in the way of grace. And while they were coming to that village, then Christ, he tempted the two people for a while, because it was his intention to go with them and to reveal himself unto them. But for a moment, he made as though he would have gone further. And then they constrained him, saying, abide with us. You find here the same word as later on in the history of Lydia in Acts 16. After that she was converted and baptized, and her house baptized, then you read in the Bible that she constrained Christ to come and to stay with her. And he had done the same thing as here by the two men of Emmaus. They have received the desire of their heart. And now also those two men of Emmaus, they constrained Christ, saying, abide with us. In the eastern country, there it was a custom to open their houses for strangers. And that was with that reason they were also strangers in Egypt, and they have wandered through the desert for 40 years, and now as a proof of their gratitude, they must show friendship to the people, open their houses, and give them everything what they want. That is here in the Western country so different, because we cannot walk in the houses and take a seat there? No, it is by us more accustomed to wait till that the people ask you to come inside and to sit down and to use something. But there it was so much different with that people. Now the case is for us in this evening. What was now the reason that they constrained Christ to abide with them and to stay with them? Outwardly, there were, of course, several reasons. The first reason was, well, Christ was for them a stranger. And in regard to the law of Moses, they have to show their friendship towards the strangers. That was in accordance to the word of God. Even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he said also something of it in Philippians 4, where you read there that we have to show one another our love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. And we have to be friendly towards every man as much that it is possible. Let everybody know your hospitality. But of course, there was also another reason. It was at evening time. If it was now in the morning or in the afternoon, that there was enough time to go farther and to look for another place, then it must be something different. But the people said it is towards evening and the day is far spent. Thus, there is no more time to go farther. It is dark, and where shall you go now? The only thing that is that you shall stay in our house. But of course, they have done that to show that strangers their gratitude. It was for that people really a great wonder that stranger had instructed them. First, when Christ came to that people, they were not so friendly. They have done everything to cut them off, because they have no desire in the company of somebody else. But of course, Christ stayed with them. And then he asked him several questions. And that was, of course, with a special cause, that was to pull everything out of the heart what was in there. And then, of course, after that, Christ knew enough of him. Of course, he was the all-knowing God. He knows everything. But as soon as then they have relieved their heart, but the reasons were that they were so sad, and that they were so discouraged, then immediately Christ, as that great prophet, he started to instruct them.
And he had led them through all the scriptures. And that was for their people so wonderful, because later on, then they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Dus you can well realize it was a remembrance, certain kind of thankfulness and gratitude that they would open the house for him, that he would stay there. But of course, there was something else too. They didn't know the person at the present time, but there was such a wonderful love to that man. It was, the more that he was talking to them, the closer that they came together. It was the same as that he was as a brother to them. There was no more distance between them and that stranger. And they thought, we can freely take him in our house. He shall not rob something there. No. He shall not take something away from us. And there was so much love that they constrained him to stay with him. It is possible that they have insight, some thoughts about the Messiah. It is possible. I cannot say yes, but it is possible, and you never know what will happen. But there was still something else why that they constrained him. Because they have well a knowledge that Christ know more than that they know. And they thought, if he now stay with us, then he is doing maybe the same thing as in Genesis 24, Eliezer. What did that mean then? As soon as he came to Rebekah, then he opened his treasures. And then, of course, those two men of Emmaus, they thought he had maybe not much more to tell us. And the more that they were instructed by him, for himself, the more that they realized how ignorant they are and how dumb they were. And they thought, now to have such a man in our house, we loved it. Thus they constrained him and they say, abide with us. We heard this morning, whom I am, what is my life, what is the house of my father. And what is now, oh, for all God's people, a real characteristic of the true work of the Lord in their heart, that they don't know it, but that they need somebody else to instruct them. And of course, they were not instructed by that Christ, but they have received also some sweetness out of his instruction. It was so wonderful to have that person in their company. Oh, they thought, we hope that he will stay with us. It is the same people as when we are sitting under a sermon that tastes good. And if we are sitting under such a sermon, that's never too long. No. But if we have nothing out of it, even when we are comforted, oh, then we think, yeah, I shall be glad when that man say amen. But that was not here so. No. If we are sitting under a sermon that goes in, what is then the result, you think? Then the hunger for the word of God that is increasing. That word that becomes more and more. And that was now, and then there was no other reason why that they constrained you. It is easy enough to follow this evening. It is also for little children. Because they were not bothered with that person too. Because they don't know. And they thought if he now go in the dark away from us, maybe he is wandering from the right way. And the dangers there in the eastern countries in the night were very great, you know that. Because it was a custom there that they all have a sword with them. You read, you find that in Luke 32nd, 22nd, when Christ said, sell everything and buy a sword. Then Peter, he said, Lord, we have 2 years. He took them so from under his rock, under his mantle. They have with them on account that the dangers were so great, and they thought, if now the stranger go away, we cannot sleep the whole night. Really? I think so too. We cannot sleep the whole night. That he had maybe an accident. That he is fallen maybe in the hand of strange people and of robbers and of murderers. Thus, that were now in short all the reasons that they say abide with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And that is now, my dear friends, that is now in our days the same. It is towards evening. You can realize that in everything. In regard to our life here in this world, our personal life, but also the condition of our country, the condition of the church, it is towards evening. In the first place, people personally, our years are climbing. It is now are more than 70 years that we are together. But when we look back and when we think about the present day, then you can realize the years are climbing at this at evening time. So many people that is taken away between 60 and 70 years. And our life here in this world, it is only temporary. So many were already taken away this year out of our midst. And we don't know whose names are on the list before that it is New Year. We don't know. But the Bible tells us men goes to his long home. The end is come. And what is there more necessary for us than that we are reconciled with God? That we are united with Christ? What is there more necessary for young and old, for great and for small? That they constrain the Lord, saying, abide with us. Because everything that falls away, people, If he are 50, 60, and 70 years old, the expectations of this world and temporal life, most of them are gone. And we are standing people, different looking to the world and to our life as that we have done when we were 20 and 30 years old. Because now we realize more and more that our life that lays behind us, and you can realize also out of our midst, if it is, if the Lord give not another thanksgiving day, how many shall be gone in at that time? Because that goes through all the time, all the time. And in the days in which we are living, you know it for yourself, what a great number of people that died outside of Rome's or in Rome's, but without a deathbed. They are dropping away with heart attacks. They find out for so many people they have cancer. And sometime in a short time, they are falling away. And then the people said, is that man also gone? And that woman also no more? Because it is always unexpected for us, on account that we place the day of death so far from us. Abide with us. If we without God in the world, then we have no refuge and strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is not built upon him. Oh, what an empty life, people. Because the presence of Christ, that only, can satisfy our heart. Nothing else, nothing in this world, and nothing in sin, and on all the pleasures and fun of this world, there comes an end to. There's boys and girls, men and women, those two men of Emmaus, they constrained Christ. And they said, abide with us. Oh, we must well cry day and night after the Lord, that he will enter into our heart, that he will reveal himself unto us, and that he will stay with us, that he becomes our companion. And when that takes place, even in the hour of death, you read that in Psalm 23, that David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If the Lord is our portion and our strength, people, then we have everything for time and for eternity. Because the church said also in Psalm 48, for this God is our God, forever and forever. He will be our guide even unto death. But they constrained him. The Lord is far gone from the country too. If we think back, people, on the days that the Pilgrim Fathers came in this country, that they brought with them, several of them, their own ministers, that they have bound for the word of God, that the Lord had made his abode in this country, sending ministers from England, Scotland, the Netherlands, and other countries. If we think about the wonders of grace that the Lord has wrought in several states here in this great country, what the Lord has done to plant his church, to establish his church, but the numbers that the Lord has converted. And now, more and more people is this spirit of communism and of the atheists more and more revealed. No God, no King, no Bible, no prayer, no religion in public that is good for the inner chamber, but not in the government, not in the courthouse, no more in our schools. And so you can see, people, there was a time that this country was standing on the foreground, and there is in the whole world no country that ever was blessed as the United States. Wonderful. But what have we done with all the blessings? What have we done with all the privileges that the Lord has given us? Now the country is filled with abominable sins. The impressions of the majesty and the omnipotence of the Lord, they are going away more and more. Even under our own people, where are the impressions of death and eternity? It is a blessing. The Lord shall have his years till the end of the world. He had promised. And he had promised, and I will abide with you. I shall never leave you and ever forsake you. But what looks it dark, it is really towards evening. And the day is far spent. And it seems that also for this country, for the United States, that the sun goes under. And that we are standing at the foreheaf of a destruction that the Lord shall bring upon us. And pestilence, tis awful. Famine, it brings so many victims. And wars, it brings destruction. But the greatest punishment that the Lord can give over the country, that is that he goes away. That he takes away the ministers, that he takes away his people, that he takes away the light from the candlestick. And really, people, If we think of time in which we are living, and it is not only here, that's over the whole world. Over the whole world. But sometime then you must well say, the time can well close by, that there is no more room for experimental and practice, preaching and doctrine. Because in general, then it is all accept and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are so firm in the religion, they go to eternity without any doubt and any fear in their heart. And they are living as the world. Living as the world. And still no fear for death and for eternity, and no fear at all that they shall deceive their soul for eternity. And even amongst us people, our own people, if we talk on the pulpit about justification, sanctification, mortification, glorification, if we talk about the different steps in grace, then it is a wonder if there is some that can follow. And when I start to preach in 1923, I can remember that I was standing on several pulpits in those days, that there were so many people still in the churches with so much grace and so much light that you go on the pulpit with a trembling heart, really. And I have seen it before my eyes, I have observed it. I have heard it in those days so many times. Big companies of God's people, where they were talking about the ways of the Lord and instructing one another in the ways of the Lord. And how far is it now? There was even in Grand Rapids a time, and in other places too, where the Lord had so many people, so many. But what is it now in our days? And what is now the fruit of the preaching and of the reading and of catechizing? What is now the fruit in our days, people? Sorrow must well fill our heart. And say, Lord, what shall become from that common generation? It is really it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And what shall it be? What shall it be soon? Because in general in the world it is all looking for peace, for everlasting peace. But the Lord said wars and rumors of wars. And when we not return to the law and the testimony, we shall have no light. No. And the Lord shall bring darkness over us, and leaving over us to ourselves. Oh, but in supplest religion, superficial, what is it for many, even amongst us, what is it as a custom? As a custom. A man reveals what his life is. There can ever be difference, no. But not in the ways of the Lord by nature. But if there is grace in our heart, then it is one thing I have desired. And I will look after it to stay in the house of the Lord and to dwell there all the days of my life. But in dishonoring of the ordinances of the Lord. And what is the spirit vexed in our days, quenched. And what is the Lord banished away out of our midst. And what few little times that we know may hear that there is no some that is living under conviction. And in general, world-minded, hardening of hearts, and even where there is no the truth and where there is no the church, what in divisions, and what in troubles, and what in fighting one with the other, and the truth and godliness and devotion that comes more and more in the back. And then the worst of all people, no grief and no sorrow that the Lord is departing. That is now the main thing. The Lord, he said by the prophet Hosea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Depart from the government. Depart from the church, from the ministers, from the overseers. Departing from the people. That is the heaviest punishment that ever can come over us. Young and old, great and small. There are only few words this evening. But oh, it is the wish of my heart. The desire of my soul, including myself. To work that the Lord work in us what we have heard of those two men of Emmaus, but they constrained him. Let that be the fruit of this Thanksgiving day, that now every man goes into himself, and that he bind us at the throne of grace. They constrained him. They constrained him not with force, no. But underneath in the inner chamber. For it is towards evening and the day is far spent. Beloved congregation, it is still the day of grace and the day of salvation. And the Lord is still sending his servants. And we have still amongst us his word and his testimony that can make us wise unto salvation. Harden not your hearts, people. Bow before the Lord. He is willing to stay with us. He is willing to enter into our heart. Because you read there at the end of that text, and he went in to tarry with them. And then later on he broke the bread and he gave it and he blessed it. And then he revealed himself. And then the scales were taken away from the eyes. And they saw that he it was. It is now that Christ, that risen Christ. What a surprising for that people, oh. Seeking people in my midst.
The Lord gave you that surprise too. That wouldn't be more than corn and must and wine of the world. Because there is nothing but more shall satisfy as the coming in of Christ in our hearts and staying and abiding with us forever and forever. May the Lord remember it on the mercy end. My last word in this Thanksgiving day is, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Lord, bless the few words in this evening to the conversion of sinners and make it urgency in our hearts of thy children that we constrain thee, abide with us, because thy coming in, that is everything that satisfy our heart and soul for time and eternity. Be with all of us in thy tender mercy. Bring us safely home. Look down in compassion. Forgive our sins. For Christ's sake only. Amen. The lad numbered 70 to the first stanza. While we arise, and then I give the benediction. Teach me, O Lord, thy way. Make plain to me my path. Because of foes I pray, protect me from their wrath. Number 70 to the first stanza. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.